Director of P&Z, Katie DeLuca. Good morning, Katie. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. What are some of the highlights of last night's Zoom meeting?
Okay, well, we started off with our pre-applications, and the first one was 240 Greenwich Avenue. This is exciting because, as you know, we just passed our inclusionary zoning regulations, so in short order, we are for our first application. And this has been before the commission before. At one point, they were thinking about doing an affordable housing project, and they are now before, or they come in to discuss potentially doing 15 market rate units and 3 affordable units, which would comply with our new regulations, just in terms of the number of units at least. So there's a lot of complication on this particular one having to do with how they calculate the floor area because it's in two different zones and what that means for the parking, et cetera. So, there's some meetings that have been held with Jody Kuchar, the zoning enforcement officer. So before they come back to us for an application, the commission asked that get reviewed and sorted out a little bit more so that it's more clear. So they'll be doing that with staff. Then we moved over to around the corner, actually, Mason Street and Havemeyer Place. This is a property that was going to be the site of the Chabad. If you recall, the commissioner had approved that. There was a suit that followed, and the property owner of this property has now submitted a housing development project. This would be for 6 residential units. As you remember, on the last go-around with the Chabad, there was a lot of question about whether the drill shed should be saved. In this particular proposal, the applicant is looking to remove the drill shed but keep the front facade of the historic armory. So the commission said before you come back to them with a final application, they would like them to go before the Historic District Commission to see what they think about the proposal. So we'll see how that plans out. Then we had another pre-application. This was in Riverside, 1143 East Putnam Avenue. It's effectively behind the People's Bank near Sheep Hill and Neal Lane. And this proposal is an 830G affordable housing project. It would be 4 stories, but it would appear to read as 5 because the parking would be underground, underneath the building, not underground, underneath the building, due to the high water table there. They're proposing 20-unit building, and the commission had some issues about how much green space or lack thereof there was on the property and whether or not they could coordinate with Peoples to try to reduce some of the asphalt overall in that area. And they did also note that they would want to see a traffic plan and try to reduce the number of curb cuts onto the Post Road. Because of that high water table, there's also some concern about how the drainage would function in that area by taking what is now pervious and making it impervious. Then we move to a decision item. This was an interesting one. This was 53 Forest Avenue. Most people know this is where the old Greenwich Gables are located, and then this was about the office building that's on that parcel, and they were looking to do an additional driveway just for them. Right now it's a shared driveway. We had a split vote on this one where three voted no and 2 voted yes. So because it was it's effectively a vote that failed to carry, and therefore it's a de facto denial. So we'll see what course the applicant decides to take on that one. Then we went to the new restaurant, the Townhouse Greenwich, and they're looking to do, this is at 35 Church Street, they're looking to do some outdoor dining. That was approved with conditions. 249 Valley Road was a subdivision, also approved with conditions, one of which was that usually we do a staff sign-off with the development plan, and the commission asked that it go before them due to the steep slopes, but it was approved. Then at 200 Pembewick Road, there's a new school, which should be called the Cedar School. There was a lot of excitement from the public and from the school itself, and I think from the commission, because this school would be up to 100 children, and it provides a much needed asset to the community, which is when you have children that have learning disabilities such as dyslexia and that kind of thing, that we have a lot of schools in the area that handle it, but not for high school. So that's why this was exciting for people, because now there would be a high school location. So there's the natural questions about traffic and drop off and that kind of thing. But also, because this building is located near the dam, there was some concerns about the flooding issues and proper evacuation plans and whatnot. It was left open so that the applicant can provide the what we call substantial improvement forms to the zoning enforcement officer. You're allowed to make improvements to a building up to a certain extent, and once it gets over 50%, the building has to be brought into compliance with the flood zone regulations. So that needs to be documented and sorted out before they come back. They will be coming back to the next meeting, assuming they can get those forms done in time. Then there was a lot confirmation on 10 Sunshine, which was approved. We did not hear 12 Banksville Road for the nursery school. That was postponed. The YWCA, they are looking to modify some of their conditions in order to have Sunday hours of operation throughout the year for both its building and tennis courts. That was left open. Interestingly, the topic that ended up being of most interest on this one was the lighting that has changed over the last couple of years and is bothersome to the neighbors. So the YWCA has agreed to look to sort that out also. And then lastly, that brings us to 475 Steamboat Road. This is the W.R. Berkley Insurance Company building, and they had requested that they change a previous condition of the commission to allow them to convert an existing penthouse storage space into a conference room and to use the roof deck. And that was approved with conditions about no lighting, no music, the hours of operation up on that roof deck. But in the end, it was approved. And that rounds out the evening.
Right. No partying at the top of the Berkley building then, right?
No. Which, but it's you can imagine what fabulous views they must have up there. So I can understand why they would want to use them, considering it's where it's located in proximity to the water.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's look ahead to the next meeting, Katie. What's on the agenda there?
Okay. The next meeting is June 8th. And we have the Bruce Museum will be back to us. That's to enlarge and enclose an approved exterior deck. We also have Temple Shalom looking to increase their enrolled students from 109 students to 148. We tentatively have the 585 and 600 West Putnam Avenue building. That's for the four-story residential with nine moderate income units. And we have Catherine Palmer, which I know is of interest to people, and on Prospect Street, and also the request to remove the requirement to demolish the Horseneck Fire Station in order to house both the small engine shop and the marine warehouse in the existing building. As you remember, this is a big thing for Fred to be able to make changes to the waterfront, and so they would like to use this building to be able to take some of the uses off of the waterfront and into different areas.
All right. And then, Katie, what's the situation as far as the meetings go? Will we be meeting in person anytime soon?
We certainly hope not, as a matter of fact, only because I think we've seen such an increase in the amount of participation in our meetings that we've had on Zoom is one reason. And another reason is that it solves a major problem that we had at the town hall, which is that we all can look at one plan together at the same time. And when I say all, that could be upwards of 100 people. And it was very frustrating in town hall when the commission was looking at a plan and no one else could see, and you know, you're talking about a plan, and I just don't think it's very fruitful or a good thing for the community to not be engaged in that way. So we are we've written notes to our state reps asking them to pass that on, that we would like to have this continue as an option, and they are speaking on our behalf up there. So we'll see how we do. I know that the remote meetings don't work for everybody, but they really have been fantastic fantastic for us. So we'd like to try to continue it if we could.
So what would it look like then, this kind of hybrid where you and the commission might be in the town hall and people can Zoom in, or how would it work then?
It might be something like that. I think the commission would like to stay, you know, in their respective locations and not have to come into town hall if possible. So it might be the staff go into town hall and, you know, just keep the monitor the computers and get the and make sure that it's, you know, it's visible to people from home and also those who show up at town hall. It's to be determined. I think in the immediate, people would like to just continue what we've been doing where everyone stays home and we don't go into town hall at all. But we'll have to see how things progress.
Now you're enjoying staying home in the slippers watching the Zoom, right?
Was it that obvious, Tony?
Yeah. You put your feet up at one point. I saw that on the VDR.
No.
Just kidding. Katie, as always, great to talk to you. Thanks very much. Have yourself a great holiday weekend.
Thank you so much. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Director of Planning and Zoning, Katie DeLuca, joining us this